What do I mean by seek God's kingdom, not church? Well, the church systems in America, so I'm using that church generic word, they're made of man. They're made of a bunch of false traditions. They're not ordained by God. So most people in America are seeking the assembled church system, Sunday religion.
As opposed to the church being maybe like the body of the Lord.
Yeah, Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, in a building, one guy behind a box, denominational. A
couple hours here on Sunday. Maybe.
Yeah, and the kingdom of God is not that.
Absolutely.
God did away with the buildings. God did away with the one-man priesthood. God never ordained those pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter. These are all evangelical inventions. So the reason I have that sign is to prick people's conscience that are churchgoers and will go, what's wrong with the church? And then our website, I'll give you a gospel card, don'tperish.com, has thousands of resources, and we teach people that, I call it churchianity. It's a placebo. It's a false man-made way. And what's happened is the world, which is Satan's kingdom, this world, we are out street preaching all weekend in the Dells. Today we're taking a break because it's kind of clearing out now. But the world is Satan's kingdom, and the so-called church system has mingled with the world. They do what the world likes. They offer what the world likes to become friends with the world. The Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So Jesus said we must worship in spirit and truth. And we must follow his ways and what he's commanded. Yet everyone's following Roman Catholic, Evangelical, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. And so if you seek the kingdom of God, that's in the scriptures. You will not be part of any man-made organization. It's impossible to link God to all of these man-made organizations. They all have some of the truth. But they all have a bunch of lies, and they've tied money to it, control. They don't know. They don't even know what sin is.
There's even just the mild aspect of like social politics. It seems to cloud.
The politics have become merged with the body of Christ, with the false churchianity and the body of Christ. Go read the first century. They had nothing to do with the Roman Empire.
Right.
All they did was focus on preaching the gospel. Many of them died and suffered over it. They weren't. Yeah, they weren't trying to change the culture. They were just preaching the gospel. And I always tell people, there's no hope for America. And people get mad, and I go, but there's hope for you. If you'll repent and come out of the culture. But do you know what's going to happen in the future? Have you read the Bible enough to know what's going to happen?
I like to tell my friends that the Bible doesn't say that it gets any better.
No, it's going
to... It gets worse and worse until Jesus literally has to put a stop to it.
We're going to go into a dark time of tribulation.
Yep.
And there's going to be few people that even believe. There's going to be apostasy everywhere. We're in that right now.
We get to the point where just the declaration of your Christianity becomes a death sentence.
Exactly. We're getting close to that.
You already see that in various places.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to shut down our First Amendment right to preach. They're going to say the Bible is hate speech. And this false religion is coming in. And Roman Catholicism is going to merge with the Muslims. It's going to merge.
I didn't want to say it immediately, but as I was walking, when I saw your sign immediately, I was like, well, why? As I was making my way up, I thought to myself, I bet you this is just kind of a Catholic thing. Not that Catholics are the only ones.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no. We stand against them. We're not part of any man-made religion. We keep the New Testament model. We're born-again saints. We like to consider ourselves the ecclesia. That means church. That word church is ecclesia. It's the called-out ones. And my wife and I were part of the world. We were part of man-made religion. We were the worst of the worst. And the spirit of... I'm sorry?
I've been saved for maybe 2 years.
Do you go to a religious body now?
I go to a Baptist church, but I haven't been baptized by them because it makes me a member of their
church. Can I warn you about them?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
If you look up, I got teaching articles, I take you right to God's word. They're not teaching the truth. They're not going to call you out of the world. They're not going to call you out of the culture.
So it's a Baptist church simply because there's no other denomination for it.
Well,
they're not Southern Baptists.
Wait, what was that?
Southern Baptist, but...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, Pooch.
That's the denomination they hail to.
Yeah, yeah.
The pastor's Southern, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay down. Please sit.
There's one of our gospel cards.
Dutch.
You're okay, Pooch. The reason I said about the Baptists is, you know, I always teach people, go to the foundation.
Right.
So here's the question. When were they started?
Was that John?
John the Baptist was not a Baptist.
He wasn't a Baptist.
He was a baptizer.
Right.
Baptized means immersion, and I've had people tell me that.
Modern, so where's the first
Baptist 1600s.
Church?
1,600 years after Jesus.
Right, yeah.
The Roman Catholics came along 900 years after Jesus. The
people try to tell me that they were part of the Council of Nicaea, but I feel like that's too early.
No. Yeah, no. The Council of Nicaea was with Constantine, and he has helped merge Christianity with paganism. So where we get Christmas and Easter from, and that's where they took the Saturday Sabbath, which we don't practice Saturday Sabbath, but that was the original Saturday Sabbath that God ordained. They struck that down and they said Sunday is now the Lord's Day.
Sunday. Actually, I've still got questions about that. I got no idea where.
Here's where the Baptists are wrong. Sunday is not the Lord's Day. Not one Bible verse teaches that. It's another man-made doctrine.
I've also noticed that there's no specification.
I've got articles on all that. And what I stand against the Baptists is, well, let's just go there. The gospel.
Sure.
Many Baptists, I don't know which one, they're different flavors,
right.
But many Baptists will teach, well, you raise your hand, you say a prayer, you be baptized, and then you go to church and you do your best you can, and you'll be born again in Christ, and you have eternal life guaranteed. So it's like an eternal security, they call it. That's leaning towards Calvinism.
Sure.
That's a lie. The Bible, are you married?
No.
All right.
No.
If you ever get married, I have a question. Do you have to endure in your marriage?
Do I have to endure in my marriage?
Every day. Do I have to try? Do me and my wife
Absolutely.
Have to try? Do you have a job?
Yes.
Do you have to show up at the job and endure in the job?
Yes,
and
every day.
God always has things set up so that his universe is the same way.
Right.
The world has to endure within his cycles. And you have to endure. God is here's an important point. God's a covenantal God.
Yes.
Everybody forgets this.
I can agree with
and
that.
What the Baptists, most of them, will tell you. But can I ask what Baptist church you go to?
It's called Keystone Baptist.
Oh,
it's
Keystone. Oh, I know about them. We used to know. Paul used to go there. No. Truck driver Mike used to go there. What they will tell you is you have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not true. You and I can have a relationship because
yes.
we're here. Hopefully Jesus isn't showing up in your house and talking to you.
Because that would be prophetic, and I don't think we live in those times.
No, we don't live in those times. Very good.
Yeah.
So what you have is you're in a covenant with Jesus.
Yes.
So he died
yep.
on the stake. Everybody says cross. I like to use the
right.
actual word. It's a stake. The word cross in the Greek is storos. It means a stake. He actually died on a stake because it says whoever dies on a tree is cursed. The Roman Catholics made up the shape of a cross. There was no cross shape. When Jesus was carrying his death chamber, his death device, it wasn't a cross. It was a cross beam on his shoulders like this. And then when they hoisted him up the tree, what shape did it make?
A cross.
It wasn't a cross. Okay. It was Constantine. Nice. It was Constantine that develop this cross theology, okay?
Yes.
So what they'll tell you is that you're in a relationship, but you're not. You're in a covenant. God's a covenantal God. He had a covenant with Adam and Eve.
Right.
They blew it.
Right.
He had a covenant with Noah.
Yep.
And Noah was faithful and carried it through. He had a covenant with Abraham and Israel. And now he has the New Testament covenant,
right.
okay? And so in order to know God by his shed blood,
yep.
his death, burial, and resurrection. He's fully God, fully man. He came, he shed his blood, he rose again, he defeated death. That's your biggest problem. He's coming for you, he's coming for me.
Right.
Death.
Right.
Jesus overcomes all that.
Absolutely.
So by his perfect work, we need his perfect righteousness.
Right.
We can't work our way to heaven.
Right.
But works are part of our faith. We'll get to that in a second. Baptists don't believe this, many of them, but works are part of our faith. So
works, faith without works is dead.
Amen. Amen. James 2. So by faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood, the Bible says Jesus' first ministry words, Apostle Paul preached it, Peter preached it, John the Baptist preached it, repent. If you have faith in Jesus and you know he died for your sin and you want to be cleansed from your sin, you don't want to keep sinning.
Exactly.
If you know God, you love God, you don't want to keep sinning. Repentance is change your mind, change your ways.
The way I kind of describe it to my friends, because I'm of the world, is that repentance isn't apologizing for what you've done wrong. It's being disgusted by what you've done wrong.
It's being what?
Being disgusted.
Very good. Yeah. And wanting no more. Yeah. And so by faith,
you
when you
keep doing it, oops and oops.
No.
You grow
and that's what. And that's what religion. Sunday religion is a lot like that. They'll tell you what you.
That's one thing that I want to ask my pastor, the Baptist, about is what is the doctrine of confession?
Yeah. Because the Catholics, obviously, they want you to confess to a father.
Right, they've turned it into a man-made order, and it's not.
A secondary mediator between you and Jesus.
Right, yeah, yeah, that's not true. Confession, real quick, I can cover that. Confession, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. So if you and I were good brothers and you were struggling with something, you confess your sin to a brother so I can pray for you, I can know what's going on, I can hold you accountable. It doesn't have to be in front of the whole body.
Yeah, exactly.
It just means confess your sins one to another, get them into the light,
right,
and get it before God, and so you can have strength and accountability and get over it.
World knows that the first step is admittance.
Yes, yes, exactly. You can't help somebody till they admit it. But by faith in Christ shed blood, repentance. And you got three things you got to repent of in this culture. Three main things. Your flesh.
Yep.
It's your enemy. It's an enmity with God. The culture.
Yes.
We walk down the dells. It's all titillating. It's all fleshly. It's everything.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to repent of the culture. And then in America, churchianity. On every corner. Churchianity wants to represent Jesus and wants to tell you, come here, we're preaching Jesus.
It's not borderline idolatry, it's full blown.
Yeah. So you have to repent of those three things and turn from them. So you got to come out of the culture, you got to come out of your flesh, you got to be willing to, and you got to come out of the churchianity system. And then when God sees a willing vessel by faith and repentance, in Acts 5:32, and nobody preaches this, God does not give the Holy Spirit to just anybody. Did you know that?
Nope.
Who does he give it to?
Acts
5:32 specifically. It says, those who obey him.
Those who obey him. That's where the Baptists would disagree entirely, is that after you're baptized and saved, the Lord dwells within you. But then they'll tell you that the Lord can't dwell within you if you push him out with anger.
So by faith and repentance, God sees a willing vessel. He'll give you a new heart and a new mind. You'll be born again. Now, the fruit you're born again is not Baptist church attendance. It's not that you do Christmas and Easter.
Right.
It's not that you just got rid of porn and drinking, which are good to get rid of.
Absolutely.
But I know atheists that get rid of porn and drinking.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
The fruit that you're born again is your life over time.
Thank you. God bless. Yeah, no, actually, this one's only three. They're about, that's 6 and 3. 6 and 3, they're double. He's a talker.
But the fruit that you're born again.
Thank you, miss.
The fruit that you're born again is holiness and obedience to the scriptures. And
right.
You will slowly begin to study God's word, and you'll begin to test everything in your life to conform to God, not
right.
to church, not to my ways. And you will find out Christmas and Easter are pagan holidays. You can't celebrate them and be in spirit and truth.
Nice to meet you,
and then you must endure in the faith.
Your name was?
My name is James.
James, nice to meet you.
I actually think I have a testing up of Keystone Bible Church. If you look at my website, the Unbiblical Teachers blog, look it up. But most important, look at the gospel, look at the 10-point test. I'd love to encourage you, if you want to email me, I have a brother that lives about 45 minutes from here. He'd love to encourage you to go
Absolutely.
Deeper in the scriptures. Here's my challenge to you. Ready?
Yep.
If you think you're of Christ.
I'm trying.
Okay. I would encourage you to stay away from man-made religion for 2 months. Tell everybody, I'm not falling away, I'm going in the Word of God. And ask God, show me the truth, convict me, guide me, show me what is the truth. And I promise you, if you're a truth seeker, after testing, Sunday's not the Lord's Day, we don't need one guy in a box, the word pulpit only shows up once in the Bible and it's not in the New Testament, it's the Old Testament. You don't need to give them your tithe. You can't be celebrating Christmas and Easter. Good Friday, ready? Your pastor,
Good Friday.
That pastor
yeah.
is going to tell you Good Friday and Sunday morning resurrection.
Yeah.
They make Jesus a liar. Ready?
Why?
How many days did Jesus say he'd be in the grave?
3.
And how many nights?
3.
Can you get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday night to Sunday morning? Not even if you reckon part of the days.
That was always in the back of
my mind. It's a Roman Catholic lie. I've got an article on that. I might look up Good Friday on my teaching blog. It's a Roman Catholic lie. And Jesus says that you must worship in spirit and truth. Revelation 22 says if you practice lies, you'll be put outside the kingdom. The Baptist faith is a satanic, it is, man-made religion
you
along
can't
with...
Offend me.
What's that?
You can't offend
no,
me.
No, no, no. The reason I say it's satanic is because it's just been invented by Satan.
Right, no,
And
I,
look
I,
at
I
how Satan treated Jesus. He was satanic. What did he do?
He tempted quoted. Him with pleasures and delights.
But he quoted scripture.
And he used the truth.
Scripture. So the Baptists get up there and preach from the Word of God, but they don't preach the fullness of it. They don't call out all sin. They keep false man-made ways. They're satanic. They're no different than the Roman Catholics or anyone else. So
right.
if you take that time away and go in the scriptures and go, Lord, I want you, I want to follow the truth, you will see that that is nothing more than Sunday form,
so,
fit
do
religion.
Do you have a recommendation on a translation? Because right now I'm reading the King James.
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage, if I would tell you to read the Bible, I would say that a King James Bible is a good Bible, but you look at the Greek and the Hebrew.
I've got the Greek and the Hebrew dictionary.
Yep,
I don't have the
because
Bible.
The King James has issues. Let me give you an example. in about 20 places plus, it uses the word Pashach and correctly translates it Passover. But in the Pashach is the Greek word, or Greek word for Passover.
Okay.
But in one place, it uses Easter. There was no Easter back then.
It tosses it in there, though.
It's in there. Yeah. The other place it has a problem is with the word church. It should be the called out ones. It uses the word church. And when you think of church today in America, what do you think of? A religious organization. So King James is a good Bible. New King James is good. Forget the Message. Forget NIV.
Right. Yeah, I knew that.
Throw all those away. And then if you'll study that, another one. 1 Timothy 2:9, real quick. 1 Timothy 2:9. It says, women should dress in modest apparel. What does that mean? In your short time on earth, have you seen the dress standards change? So what does modest apparel mean? Look at the Greek. You know what it actually says? No Baptist pastors teach this that I know of. It says neat, orderly robes. So many Baptists do have women wearing dresses. I'll give you that. But they don't teach that you should not cover, you should not show your form off. They also don't teach that you should adorn your body. Right. You'll notice my wife head covers. That's right. Taught in the Bible. The Baptists don't teach that.
If it's not modest for a, if it's immodest for a woman to be shaven or whatever, uncovered.
Yeah. Women are covered their heads. And then the Bible teaches us men how to dress.
Yep.
Actually teaches us to wear a loose garment, a tunic-like garment. That's all the way back in Genesis 3. So I throw these things out at you just because they never take you. See, God's standard is way up here.
Right.
Ready?
Right.
The Baptist standard.
Well, it's human.
And God says, you know what? Christ will cover you, but you got to bring your life up through repentance, obedience, holiness. The Bible says he made the way for those who obey him. So real quick, let me get to the faith and works. You can't work your way to heaven. You need Jesus' perfect righteousness.
Yes.
But if you have it, you're now striving to leave all sin, leave all false ways, and live and honor and be worthy. The Bible says, be worthy of this God. How can you live worldly and watch sports and be of politics and be worthy of a holy God?
Make yourself a living sacrifice.
Amen. Yeah. Romans 12. Yeah. So I would caution you against that. Take time away from man-made religion. Study the Word of God. If you need help, let me know. I don't want your money. I support myself. I don't have a building to fill up because I don't believe buildings are biblical. I just want people to open. We travel. We live in our van. I retired early. That's all we do is street preach all over the country and make disciples. And I just encourage people to become Christ's servant right where you are. And God will either raise you up to stand, be like a Noah man in your own town and be holy. You don't need the Baptist church. You don't. Forsaking yourselves, gathering yourselves together. They love to use that. Hebrews 10:25. That has nothing to do with going to Sunday church. Sunday church wasn't even happening then. They use that as a battering ram to keep you in the building, to keep the money coming in, to keep that system going when God said they will no longer worship in buildings or in a temple. They're going to worship in spirit and truth all over the place.
The temple is your own body.
Yeah. So the Baptists have recreated that whole temple system. The pastor is just another priest, clergy, laity. There's no clergy, laity in the New Testament body.
No.
And most of them, I just rebuked one. There's a pastor in this town. Don't try the next Baptist church here, Dell's Baptist. This guy, Dell's Baptist, his name was Mark Hunter. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
Okay, I have a testing of him up. I gave him a chance to preach the gospel to a lost guy. You know what he came, sat down, he goes, so did you ever come to a place where you believed in Jesus? Yeah, I did. Did you call on the name of the Lord to be saved? Yes, I did. He turns to me, he goes, is that a good testimony or what? I said, no. I said,
is what Jesus has done for you.
I said, did the man repent of his sin, sir? No. I said, has he been born again? Did he mention being born again? No. Is he striving in holiness and obedience, ready to endure the faith? He said, no. I said, that's an incomplete gospel. You don't just call on the name of the Lord. If you call on the name of the Lord and it's serious, what's it going to do to your life? Holiness, obedience, testing all your ways, sanctification, coming out of all those ways. So here's what it is. Faith and works are like the heads and tails on a coin.
Yep.
Can't separate them. And if you live in sin, this is another word where the Baptists are really weak on. If you live in sin, willfully. Do you know what willful sin is?
Go on.
Sin would be, willful sin is what you know is sin. So you look at porn. Let's say you were addicted to porn. You go, I know this is wrong, but you keep doing it.
Right.
Stealing is wrong, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay.
Lying is wrong, I'm going to keep doing it. Do you know Hebrews 10:26 says there's no sacrifice for your willful sin? Do you know why that is? You don't get your sin covered as you keep living in it. You know why? Because God says Christ came to call you out of your sin. He never saved anyone in their sin. He saves you out of your sin. If you stand in court before a righteous judge and he's going to give you leniency, what's he going to ask you to do?
Stop committing crimes.
What if you tell him, I'm going to keep doing those crimes, Judge? You going to get leniency?
Nope,
do you see how you must make yourself eligible for grace by saying, God, I stop. God, I repent. God, I'll try my best. God, I'll turn. God, I'll give away that man-made religion, and I'll give away the Sunday, Christmas, and Easter. I'll give away my worldly life, and I'll serve you. God says, I see a willing vessel. But if you go, I'm going to live my own life, God goes,
we all sin anyway, and I'm never going to be perfect.
You should strive to be.
You should strive to be.
And I always ask men who say that, what sin can't you leave? Tell me. You know, I ask them. They go, well, you sin all the time. I said, which one? I'll help you leave it.
Right.
Cigarettes, give me them. Right. Throw them out. Your phone, porn, smash it. Get yourself a track phone. Tell me what sin you can't leave, sir. And they go, oh, well, you know. No, you can't leave sin because you don't want to leave sin. The Word and the Spirit and the power of God help you.
That's just the way that I am.
Stop being that way. It's the way that you are in your fallen nature, but God gives us a new heart and a new mind. And when you, I was the worst of the worst, but when I stripped out my TV and I got rid of my corrupt hobbies and I turned my life to Christ and I started striving in ministry, God changed my heart and my life, and I brought my sin level from a 10 down to a 1 or a 2. I am not a perfect man by any stretch, but you know what? I believe that I try my hardest to honor God, and if you saw sin in me that I was doing, I'm going to try to pluck it out and rip it out, or worldliness, or a false doctrine. But these pastors, when I approach them and talk to them about their sin or worldliness or false doctrines, oftentimes I'll stand outside a public sidewalk. Do you know what they do?
What?
Call the police on me. I'm standing talking on a public sidewalk, and they call the police on me. The modern pastors are the absolute enemies of the true gospel in the faith. That's why I warn you against them. And I did, I don't know, who's the pastor's name today?
His name is Caleb Strickland.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy. When I did that testing, typical Baptist place with all their Baptist mantras, and it's not the New Testament body of Christ. If you want to be a child of God, you got to come out of that.
I'll check it out.
Let me know I can help you, man. I'd love...
I've got your card. What's your wife's name?
Debbie.
Debbie, it's nice to meet you, Debbie.
And your first name was?
Dylan.
Dylan, yeah. I would love to give you...
Is there an email on here?
Yeah.
It's on the website.
Yeah, it's on... Email's on there. Don't perish... Outlook.com?
Oh, yep, right there. It is.
Yep, and you email me. I'll be happy to give you my cell phone. I don't give my cell phone out until people are serious enough to email me. But I'd love to... Here's my challenge to you or my offer to you. You read... You study, you have any questions, you say, hey, that doesn't seem right, you call me, I'll study with you, I'll get my brother Kevin on the phone with you, I'll give an answer. If I got something wrong, I want to know about it.
Right.
And so if you go back to this Baptist pastor and you go, hey, I met that Don't Perish guy, and he goes, they're a cult, they're workspace, they're legals. We hear that all the time. I don't teach workspace.
Let
me ask you a question. How could I work my way to heaven if I admit I've sinned in my past? How is that possible?
Good point.
How is that possible? Because I admit I'm a sinner. How is it possible I'm working my way to heaven? And they come up with all these platitudes. Don't let them do that. And you know what you say to them? Say, hey, you know what? He offered. Get on the phone with this man, Pastor. I'll listen. And you tell him his faults on the phone. He'll listen to you. And then he's going to have a bunch of questions for you on the phone. Would you do that, Pastor? What do you think he's going to say?
Probably not.
He won't. They run and they hide in the dark. You know why? They're propping up a dead...
The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold like a lion.
Amen. And I'm bold because of what Christ has given me. I got nothing. I got nothing for you but the truth of God's word.
That's right.
And that's what I like to encourage people to do. They got a bunch of traditions. They got fake fellowship. They got the potential of you finding a wife there. Of course, if you marry a wife from there, she's not going to be a biblical woman. I'm just telling you the truth. So you might end up with a wife and kids that isn't biblical, and you got to be careful of that. If that's your goal, should be seeking Christ, and then he, if he has a wife for you, will have a godly, truly, holy, set-apart woman that will help you live your life. And so too many people...
That's one thing I'm praying on, man. I'm setting myself... I'm not pursuing...
How old are you?
Right, I'm 29.
29. My brother Kevin's 31, so you guys would be right at the age, right age. But what I encourage people about is watch out for fellowship idolatry. Ready? You'll say, well, that guy made a lot of good points, but wow, I like the people there, and I like going, and I like getting the fellowship. I like doing all this stuff. That's fellowship idolatry because you're lifting up people over.
Right, and that's exactly why I go to this church, is because when I started going to that church, a bunch of my friends started going to the church, and now they're doing a whole lot better, and so I go to support them. I don't want them to think that it's okay to not go to church, because where else are they going to get the word?
Well, here's,
I find the word all over. I can pull it out of anywhere.
Here's what you do, though. You can't sit in false ways and sin.
Right.
You come out, clean yourself up, and then warn them, and if they're really interested, they'll come out with you. Now you got a house fellowship.
Right.
Now you got a house fellowship. Right. But if you stay
in...
If you stay in the cesspool, kind of like, okay, if you were on drugs and you're my brother,
yeah.
I'm going to go do drugs to get close to you and hang out with the drug addicts to help
and
you out of drugs.
The drug addict. Right.
It doesn't make any sense. I get myself cleaned up, and then I go... Come on, let's come out. Yeah. So your first allegiance is to God. Get your life in order. Then you could reach your friends with the truth.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I gotta finish this walk. I just got off of work. It was really nice to
meet you. Where do you work, man?
Baraboo, the Broadway Diner.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I'd love to hear from you sometime. I'd love to study with you and encourage you.
I'll message you guys.
God be praised.